Now, one of the other things I want you to get in touch with us about is our next item, because I am joined now by one of Ireland's top dermatologists, Dr. Katrina Ryan, who was winging her way into us from her clinic this morning. Wasn't even sure she was going to get here on time. And we're going to take any of your questions and all of your questions on all things dermatology. Katrina, you know, the skin, obviously our biggest organ and all that kind of stuff. But I think one of the big things that people are very interested in dermatology now is because they want to push back and fight the signs of aging. And I think that people are, you know, people of a certain generation, mine, are obsessing about their wrinkles and all that kind of stuff. Do you see more and more the push towards the aesthetic end of things in dermatology?
Hi, Ciara. Yes, I think absolutely. I think as a country, we've really evolved in the last 5 to 10 years even. Since, you know, I went away 9, 10 years ago to Dallas, and I think I've come back to a different Ireland. Yes, I think we've embraced cosmetic dermatology more and more in recent years. You know, and I suppose as a race, it's a good thing. You know, put your best foot forward and do what you can to prevent aging.
Is it true that you can kind of tell quite a lot about people's general health from their skin? That when you look at somebody, their pallor, if they look a bit grey, if, you know, all that kind of stuff. Do we wear our actual inner health, do you think, on our epidermis?
On our epidermis, I like that. Absolutely. I think the skin is the window to your health in lots of ways. And in dermatology, we see lots of manifestations of systemic disease come out through the skin. You know, there's often things, different types of bowel disease and respiratory disease that show signs in the skin as well. But in a question of overall health, somebody's nutrition, their their hydration status, that often shows through the skin. You know, if somebody's been eating a healthy diet, they're keeping themselves well nourished, especially having a good protein balance, it does show, you know, in the elasticity of the skin and in the general health of the skin.
Okay, so even nutrition can be reflected. Lots of questions already coming in, so I'm going to lash straight into them for you, Katrina. Someone says, Ciara, would you ask Katrina what I should do about flaky, dry skin around the tip of my nose? I had acne for about 12 years until I was about 21, and now I'm in my later 20s. And while my acne has cleared up, I still have oily skin and an oily T-zone. But this flaky dryness on the end of my nose is driving me mad. Help.
Okay, well, I think what your listener may be actually talking about is a skin condition that a huge proportion of people have. You know, the fancy name for it is seborrheic dermatitis, but the way we usually know it is dandruff. And you get dandruff of your face as well, typically around the nose, the tip of the nose.
Dandruff of your face?
Of your face, yeah. You know, and it's very, very common. So when people have a little bit of redness and scaliness around their nose, sometimes the tip of their nose, their eyebrows, usually towards the centre of their eyebrows, a little bit in their ears and then in their scalp. Very, very common. Gets worse in the winter.
You know, cold weather.
Cold weather, which is half the year in Ireland. And actually gets worse when you're stressed or if you've been run down.
And what can they do? What can they do with it?
So typically using a dandruff preventing shampoo can help not just the hair but also the face. So anti-yeast shampoos can help as well. So the likes of ketoconazole shampoo, which is Nizoral, Head and Shoulders, and then keeping those areas well moisturised.
Do they actually wash their face with the shampoo and in the shower as well, or do they just let the shampoo run off their hair onto their face?
So I tell people to let the lather of the shampoo run over their face. You don't want to use an astringent shampoo directly to the face, especially if somebody has drier skin, but absolutely that can help. And then keeping the areas well moisturised. And then one of the crucial things is not to exfoliate it. So if you go scrubbing it away, it gets worse. It often irritates it and makes it get worse again.
And that's probably people's instincts when they have the flaky skin, is to kind of scrape off that loose layer.
Absolutely. They go digging at their scalp, digging at their ears. And it's called the Koebner phenomenon, but it's trauma induces growth of the skin condition.
All right. So basically wash your hair with an anti-dandruff shampoo, let the lather run down your face, and then moisturise the dry sort of flaky areas on the face, even if you have oily T zones. Okay, very interesting.
I think people are often of the, there's a misconception that if you have oily skin, you don't need to moisturise. You moisturise with oil-free moisturisers. It doesn't worsen your oiliness.
Ah, okay, fair enough. Someone else says, Can you ask Katrina a question about adult acne? I have never had acne as a teenager, but since I hit my 20s, I started getting very cystic acne on my neck. My GP gave me a low dose of antibiotics, but it hasn't made a dent in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Kira, I see this all the time. So about 30% of women can have a form of adult acne, and often happens in people who've had perfect skin through their teenage years. They may have been completely fine. And it's all to do with oversensitivity of our oil glands to hormones. Now, our normal hormone levels, but we just become oversensitive to it. And the sad thing I see is women spending bucket loads on peels, fancy masks, you know, all these sort of
cosmetic-y things,
and very expensive skincare regimens that they're given in systems and whatnot, when it isn't going to help the problem at all. The other thing I see commonly happen is women left on either birth control pills or antibiotics for years and years. And there's a cure to adult acne. If people have the cystic form, and the cystic form is a serious
and the cystic form is the big kind of lumps, isn't it? The big bumps that come up under the skin.
Absolutely. And with the adult form, you know, in women, you often find these big lumps in the lower half of the face. So your lower cheeks, lower jawline, sometimes the upper neck and the chin. And they can be very painful. And as women, we have a tendency to go squeezing and picking. And then we're left with even deeper marks or deeper scars afterwards. So if you have adult acne, especially the cystic form, you need to go and see a dermatologist. We have a great drug. It's called isotretinoin, or Roaccutane, as it's more commonly known as. And it is extremely effective at curing it, not just helping us, but it will cure it in up to 80% of people.
People are a bit scared of Roaccutane, Katrina. People... It got bad press. People are scared of it causing depression. People are scared of it making you suicidal. I've often talked to people about Roaccutane and they react like scalded cats at the notion that they might go on it.
Absolutely, Kira. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's such a common misconception in the public. You know, I have in my whole career never had anyone regret doing Roaccutane. They all regret not doing it sooner. There was a lot of controversy back in the 90s about an association between Roaccutane and depression. Finally, big meta-analysis, which means grouping together all the studies that have ever been done in acne treatments, done about 2 years ago by it was in our journal of the American Academy of Dermatology, showing that there was no association between Roaccutane and depression or suicide compared to other acne treatments. And in fact, for people who have severe acne, their depression improves while on the drug. And that's what I see in my clinic.
Is that because of a self-confidence thing? If you've got very bad acne, it's hard on you?
You can imagine being a 16, 17 year old covered in severe cystic acne. We see these patients all the time, incredibly depressed, introverted. They've lost their self-confidence. And every day we have our patients getting happier and happier coming out. So it's something I would love to debunk, that myth. It's extremely rare people ever have mood issues with it. And I just see people getting happier.
All right, perfect. Someone else says here about acne scar. A lot of text coming in about acne. Will you ask Katrina about acne scarring? Ever since I had acne as a teenager, I'm an adult now, I feel the texture of my skin is quite rough. Is there anything that I can do to improve the texture without causing further breakouts from it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that the most important thing is, and there are great treatments nowadays for acne scarring, because acne scarring can be very, very debilitating and difficult to cover. The most important thing before you go down the route of treating your acne scarring is making sure your acne is completely gone. Anybody who takes money from you to treat your acne scarring with lasers or microneedling or anything else when you still have active acne, it's unethical.
Okay.
So make sure
good
your acne is gone. And then the good ways we have of treating acne scarring now are Fraxel, which is a type of laser that causes a sort of trauma to the skin, which then allows the skin to heal over it in a very smooth fashion. And that takes maybe 4 to 6 treatments usually. And then more recently, we have microneedling, which can make a difference to certain type of acne scars. And it's a little cheaper.
So you can do those things, but not while you still are having the spots or any of that stuff. That's madness.
Absolute madness.
Okay. Somebody else... so many questions. Hi, I'm a 30-year-old woman and I'm still getting spots. I keep really good care of my skin. I'm always getting them on my chin. It's upsetting. I'm sick of looking like a teenager.
Yeah, oh, I hear this every. Yeah. I don't know how many.
I'm trying to pick out things that I think would probably be very common complaints.
And Ciara, I think the thing to tell those women is it's nothing they're doing wrong. You know, they come into me and they tell me that they've been so good about their diet, they've been so good about, you know, their health with drinking water and whatnot. This is not anything that they're doing wrong. It is a medical condition. Acne, it's a chronic medical condition and it's something that can be cured. So go and see a dermatologist. And go and see a dermatologist, not a skincare clinic or anything else like that, because you'll waste a fortune and sometimes do more damage than good.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a very important point to make as well. Tons of things on acne, but you've done a lot on that. What about, someone says, what about laser treatment for broken capillaries from rosacea?
Yeah, that's a very common problem in Irish people. Rosacea is the curse of the Celts. So many of us are affected by rosacea.
And rosacea is that redness and...
So redness, broken veins, easy flushing of the face, particularly the cheeks and nose. And then in the next stage of it, people can have pimples with it. So pimples across that area. I have rosacea myself, actually. We often have people come in asking to do something about their redness and their broken veins. There are a good few lasers that work very well for that. IPL is a very easy, cheap way, well, not cheap, but relatively cheap way of doing it. That's a light-based treatment, and it can be done during your lunchtime, you know, to treat the broken veins and reduce the redness. And actually what's interesting is I feel I have more male patients wanting that treatment.
Really?
Than females. We are very, very lucky in that we wear makeup, or we, a lot of us do wear makeup, so we can conceal these sort of things, whereas men can't. And if a man is, you know, giving presentations, if he's in a sort of a public role, it can be quite embarrassing if they flush easily or if they go red, or it's a telltale sort of embarrassment sign for them. So I actually have more and more men.
A lot of men want to get it done. Yeah. Someone else says, I have psoriasis on my scalp. What can be done for that?
Psoriasis of the scalp can be easily treated with a combination of anti-inflammatory type of treatments, particularly with topical steroid preparations. And GPs and dermatologists are great at doing that. Our GPs are fantastic at treating skin conditions here in Ireland, and particularly when people have mild psoriasis.
So to get some kind of a topical steroid on top of your head there,
and don't scratch. I know that's very easy for me to say, but again, psoriasis demonstrates the Koebner phenomenon. So if you pick out your scales, and people do that thinking it's going to help exfoliate the scales and scrub them out and use exfoliating shampoos, it makes it worse.
Okay. Someone else says, I have suffering from very itchy and painful ear canals for 10 years. I've been prescribed antibiotic drops by the doc, but the relief is temporary. Is there anything I can do for that? Is that like some kind of a dermatitis or an eczema in your canals?
Well, that sounds like exactly the two things we were talking about, the seborrheic dermatitis, which is dandruff, or psoriasis. And I often, it's not an infection. And I often see people being treated with antibiotic drops, and actually they can develop an allergic reaction to the antibiotic drops. It's usually a very mild form of topical steroid that they need to use, and it makes a huge difference. It can impair their hearing.
So just some betnozole drops or whatever, something like that, that in there. This is interesting because I think this may be related to something you said. My 13-year-old daughter always has a rash around her nose and her nostrils. We put cortisone, so they put hydrocortisone on it, and it always improves it, but I know that's bad to use on the face. Any advice? Is this another example of maybe dandruff on the face?
It sounds like it could be dandruff on the face. And now there's two things that this could be. Obviously, I'd have to see a picture or see the patient in person. If it is the seborrheic dermatitis or dandruff of the face, you know, once it's been controlled by topical steroids, using an anti-yeast cream can help to keep it at bay. Or another formulation we have called Protopic, which doesn't have steroid in it, as a preventer. You know, the topical steroid is often used to get rid of it. There is another form of rash around the mouth and nose that kids can get sometimes from overusing topical steroids, and it's called perioral dermatitis. And actually, it's the steroids make it seem better, but feeds the process.
Okay.
So it's important to distinguish what that rash is, because if that's the case, it usually needs an antibiotic.
So maybe they need to go and get that kind of looked at.
I think they need to go and see their GP, yeah.
Perfect. Someone says, I have hand dermatitis and occasional digital dermatosis, and that comes and goes about twice a year. Can Katrina please advise me? I've tried Dermavate and I've tried Aveeno hand cream, but the problem is ongoing. Thank you for that. That's from Catherine in Limerick. A lot of people get dermatitis on the hands, don't they?
Lots of people get dermatitis on their hands, and that is a mixed bag. It can be psoriasis, it can be eczema. The most common type I see, though, is irritant hand dermatitis, and I see it very commonly in women, again, who are washing their hands all the time. So I see it in young mums who are washing after every nappy change and every time they fix a bottle and whatnot. I see it in nurses, healthcare workers, and one of the biggest things to do is to try and avoid washing hands when it's not needed. So, you know, you need to wash your hands, obviously, after you go to the bathroom or prepare food or eat food. But people wash their hands now every time they shake someone's hand or pet their dog.
Don't overwash them, exactly.
And then wash them with soap substitutes like aqueous cream. It's a very cheap, easy soap substitute.
So a bit of silcox base instead of soap.
Exactly. And then moisturise afterwards as well. Gloves for wet work.
Okay. Someone says here, is poor skin, peeling nails and thinning hair inevitable for a 57-year-old woman? Could you be lacking in something? Should I be taking supplements? Is that just age related, the thinning hair, the drier skin, all that stuff? Or are there things that people can do, Katrina?
So with menopause, we do see, a thinning of the skin and some degree of hair loss as well. The peeling nails there, though, makes me think that there may be a nutrient deficiency. Biotin can be very helpful for both nails and hair, and making sure that you're meeting your protein requirements. We are bad sometimes here in Ireland at having sufficient protein intake. We're great at the carbs, but not necessarily the protein.
Okay, we were just talking there about hair and stuff. What about things like hair loss and stuff like that? Because that kind of falls under your remit too, and particularly for women. Although I know men are very sensitive about hair loss, or can be as well, but particularly for women, that can be a real issue too, can't it?
Huge issue. I see a ton of hair loss, Ciarán. I think people don't understand how common it is and how demoralising and upsetting it is for women or men to lose their hair. Multitude of reasons. And for the most part, we can treat a lot of these causes. So there's lots of different causes. Some can be stress related. Others are to do with hormones and being more sensitive to your hormones as well. But if you're experiencing hair loss, go and see your GP or your dermatologist sooner rather than later. There's lots of things that can be done. I have women crying at my desk, at least a couple of times a week, and devastated. And I'm sure as a GP you saw it as well. It's a very, very upsetting thing to lose your hair. And until it happens, I don't think people really have sufficient sympathy for it.
Yeah. And do you have things that you can do to help them?
Depending on the type of hair loss, it is. Telogen effluvium is the type that happens with stress, and we can certainly, there's certain supplements I recommend, and also preparations like Regain for people with the stress-induced hair loss. Immune-related hair loss, alopecia areata. We've had great developments in the world of alopecia areata. And that can, of course, affects children and teenagers, as you know, and can be very, very disturbing for them. And then with the female pattern hair loss, or the androgenetic, which is the hormone-related hair loss, intervening early there can make a big difference too. And that's with different types of treatment. So we have lots.
Okay, cool. Lots of questions on toddlers as well are all coming in. I'm going to throw a few of them together. Someone says, my toddler's getting lots of little dry patches on the body. Someone else says, I'm looking for skincare advice on toddlers. What routine should I begin? Are there any brands or sun protection I should use in particular? What about nighttime cleansing? And someone else says, what about recurrent cradle cap in my little man? We've tried tea gel, but it's doing very little to help. And his hair is very thin on top as a result of it being there forever.
Well, I love ketoconazole, which is Nizoral, for cradle cap, because cradle cap is the baby form of dandruff, and it works very well for that. I'd be very surprised if that didn't help. A little bit of olive oil to sort of help
soften
with the scales, soften it up without pulling out the scales, because of course, if we exfoliate them, it can get worse. That works great for that. For dealing with children's skin, again, I love aqueous cream or silcox base as a soap substitute. That alone makes a huge difference, just keeping their skin well lubricated. And don't overwash your children. I think that's something that a lot of people
do. A dirty child is a happy child. That's what they used to say. Yeah. At least that's what I used to say. But anyway, and what about the people with the little dry patches?
Dry patches. So in your local pharmacy, silcox base, emulsifying ointment, aqueous cream. They're all great and cheap ways of moisturising, and they're superior to most moisturisers.
Okay, maybe one or two. We're kind of running out of things, but I'm not getting to them all. There are so many. Someone says my son was 17 and had very bad eczema as younger. Now he has recurring patches of dry skin on his chin that looks like a very bad cold sore. Multiple blisters come up on it, and it lasts about a week. Could that be herpes, or could that be eczema? Should I use Zovirax or should I use an emollient? There's somebody who knows quite a bit themselves, I would suggest.
I know, that's a very educated mom. Yes. Actually, the moms and dads of eczema patients become very well versed in all the terminology. So I would have to see him, obviously. But the way that those little blisters are being described in the outbreaks for a week, it sounds like a cold sore of the chin. Cold sore in people who are prone to eczema, cold sores are more... are more common in other places of the face. And when you've had a cold sore, it comes back in the same place over and over again.
That could be a Zovirax situation then.
Yeah, and Zovirax, the topical version doesn't work very well. It does very, very little to decrease the duration of the episode. There is a formulation of an antiviral tablet that you can take at the onset. It's just taking a tablet twice, 12 hours apart, and it aborts the whole episode.
And that might be the better.
It makes a huge deal for people who have them.
The better road to go. Last thing on this. I found this question and I've lost it. Somebody was talking about having lots of blocked hair follicles and blackheads on their body, on their chest and on their legs and on their bum. And they said it's very hard on holidays, it's very hard sexually, and it's very hard playing sport. Those kinds of folliculi, yeah, here it is, blocked hair follicles, blackheads, whiteheads, upper thighs, knickerline, bum area, it's very sore, I'm scarred now, I'm embarrassed, and it's affecting me on holidays, swimming and sexually. What about people who have those kinds of things, those skin conditions that makes them uncomfortable about taking their clothes off, basically?
Oh, well, we see lots of them.
Yeah.
And you know, and again, that's why it's so important to go and see your GP or your dermatologist, because most of these things can be treated very, very well. I have so many patients who hide away at home for years and years. What this sounds like, it may be, you know, if there's scarring going on, what I would be concerned is that it may be something called hidradenitis suppurativa, which is a condition that causes boils under the arms, in the groin, on the buttocks, under the breast sometimes, and there's great treatments for it now. So if that patient has what I've just described, they should absolutely go and see their GP, who will refer them to a dermatologist.
Yeah, GPs actually, no disrespect to them, tend to poorly understand HS, and they probably do need to go and see a dermatologist.
Absolutely.
Even if the GP just thinks it's a bit of a blocked pore, it may not be with all that scarring and stuff.
Yeah, and there's actually great research going on in Ireland about hidradenitis suppurativa at the moment. It's very common here.
Perfect. Look, my sincere thanks. That is Catriona Ryan, consultant dermatologist. When she's not on the radio, you can find her in the Blackrock Clinic, and she does take patients. But obviously, we want to hang on to her too, because she's very useful to us. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today.